The business was seasonal. First and fourth quarters showed strong sales, and the other months were not. To diversify, what did you do then?
We began to acquire our own production. We eventually acquired not only production, but also retail marketing, so that we had control from the beginning to the end.
That's when you entered the oil and gas field. You actually purchased existing wells then, did you, in Texas?
We did.
And then you added more sites in Oklahoma?
We added business wherever we could find it.
About how many oil and gas wells do you think you would have acquired?
Well, the first major purchase was about 200 wells in the panhandle of Texas in the Hugoton field. We didn't want the natural gas. We wanted the liquids in the gas. These liquids are stripped out of the gas before it goes to the buyer of the natural gas. There are two kinds of natural gas. There's gas that's rich in liquids, and there's perfectly dry gas with no liquids.
How are those two products used then?
Well, the natural gas would go to gas distributors, and the liquids could be transported in our pipeline.
Okay. This was a good investment for you then, because the crude oil from that was pretty well uniform throughout the year.
Oh, yes.
So that offset the summer slowdown from APCO.
That's right. And, of course, as the years went by, we acquired more and more production of not only liquids, but also of oil and gas. We went into the coal industry.
Well, let me bring you back here, too, before you get into the coal industry. You acquired a retail and wholesale distributor of propane.
We did.
And what was the name of that company?
Thermogas Company.
That happened in about 1966 or somewhere in there?
That's about right.
Yeah.
We had originally acquired a block of stock when they were offering stock publicly. The offering was not going well, and I stepped in and bought a block of stock, which made their offer successful. Then a young Englishman came to see me. He'd been having problems with Charlie Russell, the head of Thermogas. Charlie didn't like him because he had long hair, and he was generally unacceptable to Charlie. Well, he came to see me, and I had no such feelings. He represented a lot of Thermogas stocks held in England. Finally, one day while I was cruising on my yacht in Long Island Sound, I went ashore to this rickety dock where I could find a pay telephone rather than my radio telephone aboard. I found a pay station. I talked to this young fellow in London, and I made the deal to buy all of the English stock. Well, that gave us control of the Thermogas Company.
In a phone booth there in that rickety dock.
That's right.
You never know where a deal's going to be made. You had hundreds, I suppose, of sales outlets then as a result of that.
We did. In Iowa primarily, Arkansas, and some in Minnesota and Wisconsin. It was one of the larger propane marketers in the country.
What did that do to the revenue then of MAPCO?
Increased our revenue, and the next step was to bring about the merger of Thermogas into MAPCO. Charlie was not very happy with that.
Charlie?
Charlie Russell, the head of Thermogas. But there wasn't anything he could do. We had control. We brought about the merger, and I made him a senior vice president of MAPCO at the time.
You know, all of this, as we've been going along, sounds pretty smooth. Really, was it that smooth, or did you have a lot of naysayers on your board and you had to convince?
I had no naysayers on the board. I had a good board. I had really worked on that.
Thermogas comes under MAPCO.